Nerd Appropriate presents exclusive coverage of the BioWare base, recorded live at PAX Prime 2013.
All right, welcome to the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. As you'll notice, this is not a numbered podcast. We're doing a whole special series for you.
Yeah, we're going to be bringing you a total of 12 different podcasts recorded live at the BioWare base this year's PAX Prime. So make sure to click subscribe and enjoy.
Tri-annual BioWare LGBTQ panel. And, well, we just did come back from GamerX, which David Gator and I attended together. And it was one of my favorite conventions that I've ever attended. And so we came back from that, and we were all talking, and we were like, let's just do more of this stuff. And so we did. And it was a very easy panel to put together, and a lot of people on this panel are actually just here on their own free time, and so thank you guys for being on this panel. I am going to let my panelists introduce themselves, and if you could talk about why this is important to you, and if you've worked on anything that has to do with kind of being an ally in the community, or any characters, or just anything having to do with issues that I think are important to our community, or invisible communities, or kind of marginalized issues. Oh, I'm sorry. I can never introduce things well enough. I think I'm like, this time I'm going to introduce things really thoughtfully. Let's just start with
you, Anne. What if Anne goes first so Patrick doesn't steal what you want to say?
Yeah, let's start with you, Anne.
I think I'm actually safe on this one. Trying to read my mind before I talk, is that it? Hi, I'm Anne. I'm a writer at BioWare Montreal. In the BioWare games, I've worked on some ambience in ME3 and on a character for Omega who could be considered LGBTQ. And I think it's an extension of my privilege for Omega that I didn't realize we were doing that until we were well into the conception of the relationship between Ari and Irene. We're like, technically speaking, you could say they're two women, right? So it hadn't occurred to us until later, which is a very silly thing. And again, privilege right there. Beyond that, I do try to speak up a lot and spread the word via various social media. But also, being at BioWare allows me to do something really active about LGBTQ characters in games, and that is a very it's a privileged position in our industry, and it's one that I value very much.
I'm Karen Weeks. I am the lead editor for our Edmonton and Montreal studios. The picture on my phone is of Patrick and I and our two kids at Edmonton's Pride Parade this year. We're, I think, both of us pretty outspoken and active in our support of our LGBTQ friends. I sing in a gay choir in Edmonton that I'm in with a friend of mine. And I don't know even what to say other than it's kind of unfortunate that we still even have to be having panels where we're talking about this. I don't know. You know, it would be great if all of our games could just be open and accepting, and it wasn't such a big deal. But until it's such a big deal, we're going to keep having panels. Until it's not such a big deal, we're going to keep having panels and talking about it and talking about inclusion and hearing what you're telling us. So I'm done.
Hi, I'm Patrick Weeks. I'm a writer. I worked on Liara in Shadowbroker, and helped guide some of her in 3, although I didn't write her myself. I also worked on Trainer, the first explicitly same-sex, not bi female character in the Mass Effect IP. And Karen has taken all the good stuff,
good
as
job.
She does.
It's revenge for our last panel where we started on that end and he took all my good stuff.
But really for me, just it comes down to I have gay friends and I want to write games where they have someone they can romance.
I'm Luke Christensen. I'm a senior writer at BioWare. I've worked on pretty much every franchise we have, except Sonic, I think.
I worked on Sonic.
There you go. We got it all covered right now. I don't know, and this is probably a problem. I had not thought about it until on Jade Empire we thought about gay or bi romances in that, and we asked ourselves, is this a big deal? And the answer was, no, just do it. So we did. And, you know, yay, we did, but, boo, we hadn't thought about it before. What, huh? And, you know, I agree with Karen. Like, can't we just have content? You know, why does it have to be, you know, why do we need to keep, you know, like it's special? And it should just all be content. So, yeah. Yay, that's my story. Nice.
Gosh, with this panel, I feel I'm supposed to be Kaylin too. But I'm Dusty. No, I got the right.
Okay, right. I was like, no.
You know, like, to close chair, I was like, ah, that's what you do. If you're in the last panel, everyone else was the same. But no, my name's Dusty. I'm a level designer, but I also got the fortune of doing a little bit of writing. I mostly did Normandy stuff, so I got to write some of the characters on the Normandy. So I wrote Steve Cortez and Kelly Chambers. And for me, it's kind of exactly what Luke was saying, is that just seems like there's certain things that are a big deal that shouldn't be, and especially for like Mass Effect, the universe, it's in the future that seemed like, you know, we could reflect the things, the way things will be and should be. Going forward, so I found it very important to kind of get some, and felt very privileged to be a part of having that diversity spreading out, expanding it to every player. I think when I was really young, as a gamer, when gaming wasn't as big as it kind of is now, you always feel like an outsider. It's like, come on, let's include everyone. Everyone should be able to play a game and feel that they belong in there, even just beyond LGBT. Just, you know. Full-blown diversity all around, so that's what I was trying to
do. I didn't introduce myself, but I guess I moderate all the panels, and this and the Women in Gaming panel are the only panels where I'm like, I'm sticking myself on as a panelist. My name's Jessica Marzen.
Well, come sit with us, then.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What's that?
I guess that's appropriate. My name is Jessica Marzen. I'm sorry, the mics are going to start feeding back because I'm really loud. I lead the community team for BioWare. BioWare. This is awful.
Oh, you're taking over.
Not so easy, is it?
Yeah, I did. I was great over there. I lead the community team for BioWare Edmonton, Montreal, working on Mass Effect and Dragon Age. I've worked at BioWare for 2 years. Before that, I was super convinced I was going to be a professor in anthropology and archaeology, and I realized that I super procrastinated on papers, and it made me a crazy person. But when I was a researcher, I mainly focused on sex and gender and how not binary they are. And I did a little bit on race and ethnicity, and I actually excavated a lot of slave quarters and plantations. So a lot of marginalized communities are very important to me. So someone in an earlier panel asked me about about how to further his career in community management. And I was like, well, it depends on what kind of community manager you want to be. Like, are you the form guy? Are you the social media guy? I am the inclusion guy. Like, that's who I am. I go to places like this. I go to conventions. And then I figure out, okay, how can I make this on the internet? And that's all I care about. I care about making games, but to be honest, I care about making this online. And I think hopefully that's a cool thing. And so I am really excited to help facilitate panels like this where we can bring, honestly, a super packed panel, because a lot of people would be like, oh, can we have a panel about LGBTQ and get people to come? And I mean, I'm sorry, but honestly, people would ask that. And yes, you can. Can we have a panel about women in gaming, and will people come? Yes, they will. And so I'm really happy that we can have these discussions and that we can facilitate these things. I think I want to talk a little bit about the work you guys have been doing and where we want to go. But if you guys are okay, I'd kind of like to open it up to discussion fairly early on. And I'd like to raise the house lights, because as much as I love moodiness, I'd kind of like to see your faces.
Yeah, you're all kind of silhouettes right now.
Yeah.
Purple
silhouettes. You're just like beautiful shadows. yeah, so I think before we open it to questions, so think about your questions or comments. I love like discussion and just comments, or even just points of concern or things that you want to tell us that we should be doing better. I think that's perfectly valid. Where are some things in the past that you think have led us to where we are now? And where do you think that we're going from here? And I know that's very broad, but I think that hopefully it leads us to some interesting talking points. Sorry, I'm not moderating this panel. Okay. Patrick, you're looking like
what?
Very dope.
I was trying to listen to what you said and figure out how to get from that to the story I wanted to tell.
So obviously it sounds like you want to say something.
I have my thing.
I think you actually figured out how to do it. So
okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway. Yeah, well,
that was a very smooth thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I do what I can. Yeah.
I get whiplash. Right.
So I messed up Trainer. She's the what is she now? What does she ship as? It's not Yeoman. That was Kelly. Specialist. That's right. Comm specialist. She went through a couple titles as well. And when I found out that she was going to be, I had the chance to write the first, you know, exclusively same-sex romance. I really wanted to do it justice, and I absolutely didn't want it to be, this is a straight guy writing hot lesbians, because that was not the audience we were writing it for. This was actually the one that was going to be inclusive, not there to be titillating, not there to be objectified from both sides. This is supposed to be a relationship between two people. And so I did my research, and I watched a season of The L Word, and I looked at my friends' collection of lesbian movies.
I was watching Queer as Folk just to be supportive.
Just to be supportive. And I came up with the character concept and said, okay, this is a woman who has felt that she had to downplay her sexuality because she's part of the military, and so she wears makeup to compensate, and that's the way she dresses, and she's flirtatious because she doesn't want it to become an issue, and it informs all of her personality that way, and it does that. And I showed it to my fellow writer buddies, and surreptitiously to a couple of my LGBTQ friends, and they went, that's an awesome after-school special, Patrick. Now make a character. Because I was, in the interest of trying so hard to not cock it up, had in fact written the character who had no defining personality except for being gay. And after I got, you know, smacked with a rolled up newspaper about that, I took it back to the drawing board and went, okay, she's a tech geek. She likes chess. She is not a frontline combat soldier. here are the movies she likes to watch. She likes her creature comfort. She likes to dress nicely. She has an incredibly expensive toothbrush for no reason. And she happens to be gay, and that is present, and that can be reflected in the other stuff, but that is not her only defining personality facet. And for me, that was when it really felt like it clicked with her, because now she was a character. Now she was not me trying to win cookies for having a gay character and going, gay positivity, look what I did. She has no personality, but she's gay. Like, that is the gay romance equivalent of having that archer or healing mage woman in a fantasy game that until that time had only male characters. Because that's always the first women when you have the fantasy game, right? You got the burly dwarf, you got the elf who is, you know, also still a guy, and then you have, oh well, we want to have a female character so we're inclusive. Oh, she'll have healing magic, or she'll be in the back with a spear or something. She's not going to wear armor, she's not going to hit anything, but her defining characteristic will be is a woman. And you have to get past that. Like, that's better than not doing anything, but for me, having to get past that and go like, okay, now make a character.
Speaking of just playing off that, Dusty, I am really interested in the character arc of Steve as the grieving husband.
Mm-hmm. So when Steve first started as a character, he wasn't actually going to be a romance interest. I wanted to have the theme of Mass Effect 3 a lot was about sacrifice and the trials of war and the costs of war and all of that. And so I wanted to have a character there that could represent that loss and kind of be the message in a way, though we didn't know what the ending would be. We knew that Shepard was probably not going to make it through the end, and kind of have this theme of it's the journey, live for the day, and loss. And in a way, it was kind of this devious kind of set up the player, maybe, a small character, it wouldn't go very, but maybe there's that little hook there. You kind of go like, oh, okay, live for the day, but have this, and that was his arc, his loss, he was grieving. And that was actually where it was like, this works for, a husband or a wife. It doesn't have to be. It could have been a brother or sister as well. And that was where I was like, hey, this is a great time. Because, our sexuality is a part of us and doesn't define us. So if something's going to come out, this needs to be a purpose. So I found this opportunity. Who knows how many, LGBT characters you've met as Shepard through Mass Effect. It just doesn't come up. It's like through our life, you just don't instantly see. So I said, oh, this is a great opportunity that we can show. It fits the theme of the game, and he's not defined by that, but it fits the theme, and it can come up as his husband. And when Casey came down and said, let's make him a love interest. It was a real mix because I was thrilled. It's like, that sounds fantastic. This is my dream come true. Except then it's also, I'm a level designer, not a writer by trade. And I'm like, they're going to take him away from me. They're going to take him away from me. No, I don't want to lose my character. I don't lose my Steve. So, but luckily that I think just because everyone was swamped and drowning, they let me continue through. But then I was really kind of, it was this, this, now it's this double-edged sword of like, oh shoot, the most sexiest thing is not someone that's just lost their spouse, right? Recently, and it's like, and I remember Thane, I was always like, I don't want to do Thane's romance. It's like he's all about his wife that he lost. It's like, oh, this is terrible. And I was thinking, well, should that change? But it was more, well, no, I don't want to take away that main theme And yeah, that's the one that I was torn with. Do I change his character from that, and do I change that moment of it being that loss of a husband? But one other thing was kind of nice. He said, I'm sure Patrick felt this as well, is we got to live with word counts, budgets, and to get characters across, and you get only so many words that you can give these characters because there's a cost for all of them. And as a non-squad mate, squad mates get a little bit more because they're everywhere, so it's like, okay, there was this nice way that I felt. It was a great way to kind of to break the subject in a very natural way and be able in just one word, my husband, I was thinking about going, you know, well, we could change the boyfriend. Maybe that makes it better for a romance. But I was like, no, husbands, there's no ambiguity there. And then have that moment where then shepherds just, it's just the most natural thing. It's not this bit, like, let's talk about it. What is this? It just showed that, okay, this is natural. This is in the future, this isn't going to be a big deal. And then it could go from there. So in just a few words, it was able to go, okay, now I can worry about the character arc and the relationship with Shepard.
Something came up at GamerX that it's interesting because fans often talk about what they want to see, and it's kind of up to people like me and developers to interpret that as, okay, well, they're saying that they want this, but I think that what they're saying is that they want to see this. It's kind of like you've always ridden horses, and someone is trying to build a car. You can't say you want a car, you're saying you want a faster horse. So we were having a discussion with me and David and a super awesome group of fans, and this one guy was saying that he was like, okay, well, in Dragon Age, you can talk about your romance, with Zevran or Fenris, but what does everyone else think about gay people? Like, what does everyone think about it? And David was like, well, I wouldn't really want to put homophobia in there. And the fan was like, well, I mean, I don't really mean homophobia. I just feel like it should be part of the world. Like, and David was like, yeah. And so we were talking about it. And I was like, okay, I think what you mean is not like you want homophobia, but maybe like you want to know like what, if there are different rituals, like maybe in different cultural aspects it means different things. Like, you know, in India there are three genders, for instance, and even in our worlds, in different cultures, there are different sexes. It's all on a different spectrum. And that in the Dragon Age universe, that culture is appropriated in the same way. So you're not asking for homophobia in Dragon Age. Maybe you're asking, what is the culture of LGBTQ in Dragon Age? And he was like, yes, that's what I'm asking for. So as far as where I would like to see these issues go, I think I agree with that fan, to answer my own question. So where is, are there any places that you guys would like to see that go? And then, David, can we get the house lights up while they're asking that? And then after the house lights are up, so that no one gets, like, tangled up, there's a Q&A mic there, and we can form a line to have, like, fun powwow discussions or questions.
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, I want to find out what the people here like and want more of and want less of and what ideas you have. And one thing that, you know, just to point out a bit wet blanketly perhaps, but Patrick and Dusty were talking about word limits, and we have technical limitations. Romance scenes, whoever's in them, are really, really expensive. And so as much as we have all these things we want to do and stories we'd like to tell and interactions we'd like to have, we're limited by the amount of resources we have. And so it's a constant balancing act to try and make those two things meet a happy medium somewhere.
Also, if I could take an opportunity to, in a socially conscious and progressive way, plug my book.
You can do it. It's fine. So
in the next Dragon Age novel, which with some great oversight from Karen and the editing team and Dave and Mike, I've been working on. This isn't a spoiler. It's on the back of it's on the cover copy that people have already had the opportunity to read. The Empress of Orlais, Empress Celine, is involved in a same-sex relationship with her elven handmaid, Briala. And what was interesting to explore in the book was the fact that people would disapprove of this relationship a great deal, in no way because it was same sex, but because it was Elvin.
It was the two class.
Yeah, it was the class difference, and just getting the chance to explore that and see some of, you know, what was similar and what wasn't, but at least in the Dragon Age universe, or at least in Orlais specifically, they don't care a whole lot. What they care about is they care about status, they care about class, mm-hmm. and being able to have a relationship unfold in a much different culture that way, that had some similarities and some differences, is really interesting. And should you purchase the book, you'll get to see it.
That was smooth.
You think so?
I do. Oh,
I didn't have a good way to get them to buy my book, so I just said that at the end.
So moving on.
What's that book called, Patrick?
Oh, thank you, Luke. It's called Masked Empire. Next year, probably July.
It's with four books, right?
Mm-hmm. July?
I think.
Sometime.
Look for it next year.
Chris Bain's not in here to shake his head, yes.
Okay.
But it's a Dragon Age book, so it's not just your book, but...
No, it's a Dragon Age book that happens to be...
It was written by you, and we're all very proud. Yay, questions.
Hi.
So the first question was kind of a little bit more of the difficulties or the evolution of relationships out of the kind of, we've just met each other for the first time, then we find out, like, romance is often, I will tell you my history, and by the time I get to the end of my history of right now, we will be in love.
Is that not the way it works in real life?
I wish.
And then you get a little star. It would be so much easier if it did, though.
So kind of one of the questions was about having the progression of relationships and going into maybe some of the difficulties of your characters making decisions, and maybe their romance doesn't agree with your decisions, and how do you work that out? But word count being an issue.
Well, the thing there, I think, is, and this is part of why we focus on relationships with the followers a lot and not so much with NPCs, is because there is a large amount of implied time with the followers as you go around and you do your adventures and make your decisions and things like that. And so if you're in a relationship with those followers, all of it is the romance.
Yeah.
So we try to, and you know, occasionally we miss out, but we try to put branches into the existing path that you take through the crit path and place and plots that branch for if you're in a relationship with the person, so that there can be unique moments along the way. But part of that is just your feeling as you're going through. Like, you're bringing that person along not just because they're good at casting whatever, but because they're the character that you're in a relationship with. And that makes everything inherently that relationship. So we, you know, there's only so much, you're right, there's only so much we can write. And if you boil it down to the YouTube videos of the relationship, it is not enough. You know, you'll get no argument from anybody on this panel that we would love to write more and more and more and more and more. And sometimes that hinges on even, you know, the way that you play the game. Like, if you happen to meet someone early in the game, then you've got more time with them, and then all of a sudden their content is spread out, you know, better.
See also Garrus, who can be the first person you get, and he has as many conversations as Tally, but he can be the first person you get, and you don't get Tally until halfway through ME2. So his stuff is, that's where calibrations come from.
And the second question was about polyamory, which got touched on a little bit in Jade Empire's one version and a little bit in Dragon Age Origins. But if there's any discussion of including that as well.
So, well,
we actually, someone, it was great, Laster asked us a similar question. and all of the developers, not a moral thing at all, everyone just started kind of rocking and going, oh my God, the conditionals,
it's purely the scripting.
How would reactivity, how would we do that?
So
not to say never, but just logistically, the more you expand, the more stuff there is to keep track of. And with every game, we get better at it.
On the polyamory side of things, what you have is it's not just, am I romancing these two people? Because that can just be a scene. That's just, you put the characters in and then you have the scene once you've decided which two people you're romancing. It's what happens when you're walking through the Citadel and you're supposed to overhear someone saying, is that Commander Shepard? I heard he was in a relationship with
Bloop.
And like, how does that logic, and that logic is propagated everywhere. Or what happens if you're talking to Liara and Liara is supposed to have a branch where she talks about the person you're romancing. And if Tali is first on the branch and Jacob is much lower on the branch, but in your mind, Jacob is the person you were romancing first, so she should talk about him more, and that's when people's heads explode.
Well, and also the fact that, you know, it's not just the protagonist in the relationship with those two people, it's those two people and each other, and that's a lot of discussion and things happening, so...
So the place where I could see something like that happening someday, and it would have to be something that we thought, you know, was worth it. I for the longest time said that we would never ever do a cocktail party in a role-playing game because holy mother of God, those are expensive. Because having a big fight is just you put down a bunch of enemies and the level designers then make magic happen, and that's easy. Dusty doesn't do that much work. He just puts the level designers and presses a button and say,
make awesome combat.
Make
it cool.
But a cocktail party, it's a unique line of dialogue for everyone, and who knows who you talk to and what order you talk to them in, and it's a giant pain in the ass. And that was my thing we will never do that in a game. You'll never have a cocktail party. And then lo and behold, Citadel did a cocktail party, which all by itself had more lines of dialogue than the Leviathan DLC. But that just the party. So it was hard, but we decided it was worth it. And so for something like a polyamorous relationship, I can see someone trying to tackle that in an interesting way. That was maybe the relationship has certain ground rules and there are certain conversations that come in and out at different points, and it's just a simple state check for other people. And maybe we'll try to tackle that someday. You know?
And, you know, it takes some groundwork, right? So because that insane connection of all of that, all those relationships and conditionals and stuff was laid out in Citadel, perhaps that will make it easier when we try to tackle that.
Yeah, once you climb Everest once. Yes.
Yeah.
thank you. And as you mentioned it now, thinking back, I apologize. I think I was actually the person who asked that question last year as well.
Were you polyamory Jesus?
Were you dressed as...
Oh my God, polygamy Jesus?
Because I have to say, polyamory Jesus is legendary at our studio now. That was the best question ever. So you guys are awesome.
This is stuff of legend.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to start off by thanking you guys. Playing your games really helped me come out and accept myself. So thank you for that.
Thank you, dude.
Thank you.
So my question is, I'm not sure if you guys can answer it because you guys said you're all Mass Effect people, not really Dragon Age.
No,
but the character,
we're all in Dragon Age.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Character Alistair. To him and to a lot of my LGBT friends, we all think he's like a closet case, but he's presented very much as a straight guy.
He pinged.
What was the issue with that? Why did that happen? And do you plan on trying to incorporate any other characters that are in the closet and struggling with their own sexuality?
Answering whether we have anyone who's in the closet and struggling with their sexuality would probably get too much into spoiler territory. I think it would be fascinating. I would probably not want to be the person who tackled that myself, not because I think it doesn't deserve to be tackled, but because I'm an ostensibly straight white dude, so I would almost certainly screw that up. But I think with regards to Alistair, I think a lot of times it's the voice, it's the delivery. I know Dave wanted him to be like a lighter, funnier character. And, you know, sometimes the body language will just come together and we'll create a situation where a character absolutely pings somebody's dar.
Well, and you were talking with Irene and like how that kind of developed as you were developing the characters, right?
Yeah. To us, we approach Nareen and Arya as characters, and then as we were working to further the story, it made sense for us to build the relationship that the player would see based off the fact that they had been together and had broken up. And we never really addressed that. We hint at it in one of the investigates with Nareen, but it informed every conversation they had, and their relationship wasn't just Nareen standing up to Arya as, you know, the boss of Omega, but also Nareen and Arya having had that relationship and having had violent disagreements that had driven them apart.
So it kind of depends. We have really passionate arguments about discussions, professional discussions about the characters, and especially, you know, established ones and the ones that have been around for a few games. And sometimes it's a surprise to us, too, you know, sort of what happens and where they go and what we find out. So
on the Mass Effect side of things, I remember the same thing happened with Caden, mm-hmm. where we kind of went, yeah, I could see Caden doing that. And that wouldn't, like, it was a case where it wouldn't feel like a weird retcon. It didn't, it really felt natural for him to have that option. And it didn't feel that way for Ashley, and it wasn't a no, we refused. It was just like, no, we're looking at the character, and I honestly don't see it for Ashley, and I do for Caden. So I think sometimes it's just how it goes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm short. So you guys actually kind of took part of, I have like a comment and a question. You took like part of my comment. I was going to say that the romance between Shepard and Caden was the best fictional romance I have ever seen in my life. I don't usually like romance. I'm just so sick of like male gaze camera over some chick's ass and all this stuff. And like, it was so nice to see this really like very well characterized romance between these two characters. And I actually heard, and maybe this is not true, but I heard that Caden was supposedly supposed to be romanceable in Mass Effect 1, and like you had to take it out for some reason.
No.
Yeah, that was a.
Please, you put it in. I will put that back in.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'll tell you exactly what, the reason that rumor exists is because there are lines in Mass Effect 1 where he says, there are lines where the male Shepard has romantic lines for Caden, and that was not because they were written for him to say. It's because we forgot to flag them as female only.
I don't think we had. I don't think we had female
we
only.
Yeah, only yeah, flags yeah. Then.
So
or,
in
or, the, or the feature would be the Reeds, and then Jennifer Hale would.
Yeah.
Follow.
So some,
yeah, I thought we yeah. had a pipeline. We need to all.
So there were concerns that we would accidentally have a character not record a line they were supposed to. So on Mass One, we just said, yeah. Okay, just have both Shepherds say everything, and that was how those came to be. It definitely wasn't something that was supposed to happen.
Well,
and then
just
got
saying,
cut.
You should yeah. totally put out like a collector's edition. I would buy it, and everyone I know would buy it. anyway, my actual question was. I see your panel says LGBT, and so far we've talked a lot about G and a little bit about L and almost none about B, and T has not even been brought up at all. And I would really like to see some T characters in games occasionally.
Awesome.
Like, not necessarily even transgender characters, because I'm trans and being trans fucking sucks. I do not recommend it. but I would love to see, like, asexual characters or, like, a fantasy race in Dragon Age or a similar fantasy property, or an alien race that has multiple genders or one gender. I didn't like the Asari. They were just space lesbians, and I would have... I know that you, from what I read, from the interviews I've seen, I know they were going at the sexy green aliens trope, and getting from sexy green aliens to androgynous race is such a cool jump, and you guys are awesome, but as somebody who was consuming the media, I saw androgynous race, and I'm like, well, how did they get sexy green aliens out of that? You could have gone so many cool directions, and sexy green aliens was boring. So I would love to see more of that in games. And I mean, do you have any plans for anything like that?
We've actually talked because I remember Dave talking about trans characters.
To bring up your point about we definitely wanted to leave it open for discussion. Definitely. Does someone want to talk about because I pal around with David at GamerX, I don't want to just reiterate all his stories, but.
I don't know which story you're going to tell.
I was going to tell you guys and then hope that you guys can tell the story better than me, but...
Full sentences, Jessica. What story?
I had an answer.
Well, the transgender character in the Dragon Age comic...
Oh, Mavaris.
Heard about that, yeah.
Yes, that Maddie actually consulted with David on, because originally it was kind of... kind of stereotypy, and she was like, hey, David, that's not cool. And he was like, oh, you're right. That's kind of not cool. And now it's much more well-rounded, and I know David is, and everyone is very much so. You guys, not me. So I'm sure.
I can't speak to, you know, Dave's mind while he was writing things. I just know that he and the artist worked very hard to do as faithful a depiction of that character as they could within the limits of comics. As you know, you don't want to make it a cartoon is the wrong word.
But. I think honestly a lot of this is we don't want to screw it up. You know, if we're going to do it, we want to do it right.
But some of it also comes down to, you know, I remember talking about this with Dave, and I can't remember. Maybe we were drunk. It was, the issue is, for a while it was difficult for us to do this with gay characters because we would say, okay, well, look, we're not an after-school special. If someone just, like, people, you're not walking around for Feralden, it's like, hey, how's it going? You know, I prefer the company of the same sex. Like, that doesn't naturally lend itself to the ambient with Merchant Number 6. So it has to be someone who you either talk to a lot, like a follower, or it has to be, or you have to have a much better way to integrate it into the world in a way that doesn't feel shoehorned in, like you're trying to do it for the metaphorical cookies. And with a trans character, like, and I think we've gotten to that point. I think, like, Dusty, when saying, like, yeah, I lost my husband, that's like, okay, well, that's how you do it. You don't turn it into, and I prefer the company of men, just in case that wasn't clear from me having lost my husband. You just, okay. we've learned to trust our players enough to go, like, we can do that, and that's going to work, and they will understand it, and they will not die from shock, and we've suddenly included something in the universe. With trans characters, we're still figuring that out. Like, the merchant can't say, I'm currently, you know, transitioning. Like, that would be dumb. And we don't have enough of the lexicon ourselves yet, so we're working on building it. We're watching, you know, watching Sophie in Orange is the New Black and figuring out from...
What?
Sorry.
What? Sorry, I was just now talking to myself. Can I ask a technical question, though?
But sorry, but yeah, just to finish. So we're working on the lexicon and figuring out how to work those in, and also figuring out where it would be appropriate to have a character who you can talk to enough that we can do it justice.
All right. Yeah, I was going to ask a technical question. In terms of like non-binaries from the protagonist perspective, because obviously from like an NPC perspective, you're absolutely right. But from the protagonist perspective, I think that does bring a lot of room and opportunity for you as that character to, I don't know, set, like, where on the spectrum you fall.
Sure.
And maybe it's just because I read a lot of Judith Butler that I'm like, yes, that seems like a really easy thing, but I'm not a game developer. So is there a lot of technical limitation? Are we just not there yet that we can just be like,
you mean like on the gender spectrum?
Here's my sex, here's my gender, like, and it's just on a scale, and...
I think, okay, so my answer, and I don't know, old tech guys can disagree. I don't actually think it would be that difficult. I think you could say, Dusty has made me worse conditionals before on Mass Effect. Dusty, I need a conditional for blah, 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 and Q, and okay, hold on. God, that one hurt. But you could do something for sex, gender, and, you know, you could make custom conditionals for that. I think it's just, in many cases, a question of what it often comes down to at all video game companies, which is, has anyone thought to do that?
Well, and once you do, how does that reflect that? If setting that conditional then gets you the, hi, I'm transitioning question or statement,
yeah,
it has to lead to something that resonates.
It might be difficult in some of these fantasy worlds, but it would be cool to see, like, some of the fantasy races that don't just male-female for every single race. It'd be cool to see some variation around
the
races.
Well, I remember, like, the interesting stuff with Sten refusing to acknowledge your gender. If you're, well,
yeah,
if you're,
it's because the Qunari are all about roles, and in their mindset, females do not fight. They cannot be soldiers. So if you are a female and a soldier, then you're not female because you're a soldier, which is a weird place to be. The Canary are weird.
Well, Thank you. You have a couple people applying, yeah, apparently, for this job. So I'm a developer. You should hire me, too. There's two of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things that I loved most about the Dragon Age 2 romance was the fact that of the main four romances, they were available regardless of what gender Hawk was playing. And I was wondering, is there any particular reason why in other games you choose to identify a character as being only interested in male Shepard, only interested in female Shepard, when if you have all the dialogue recorded and the character models are basically the same, wouldn't it make incredibly horny bisexuals like me happy?
The short answer is scope, I would think, because it's you know, I'm not going to pretend to understand as straight whitey has insight. It does not seem as simple as swapping the pronouns in these relationships and in
really
use the name. Well,
Melanie Fleming from our localization department.
Oh yeah.
No.
Well, there are, yeah, when you get into different languages, that's weird territory. I do not understand.
Okay, because I think part of it is, okay, for each of the romances that I've written, I kind of had the here's what, you know, the one sentence version of the romance that I could boil down to say, here's the romantic experience I want the player to have. Right? The
archetypes of romance.
Archetypes of the romance type. And it feels like, let me finish before I'm booed. It feels like if you change the gender, some of those change. And even if I look at that and go, okay, so what if I'm writing this is the innocent, nervous high school teenager's romance, and it's just the forbidden. Oh, I don't know if we should. Oh, I, like that one. But if I make that one same sex, does that change the romance? And I can look at it and go, well, I think it does, and then take 5 minutes and then go, wait, that's just my straight white privilege talking. I don't actually think it has to change the romance. That's the romance type. But the other side of it is I don't just have to write it well enough that it satisfies me. I also have to write it so that the average player of any type looks at that and gets what type of romance they're signing up for when they agree to that romance. Because like we've said, we don't have a lot of words to establish a character. So we have to try hard to tell you, if you sign up for the romance with Thane, you're signing up for the romance with the dying man. If you sign up for the romance with Garrus, you are signing up for the romance with, like, the wisecracking buddy who turns into more. And trying to do that and also adding in additional gender options is something that sometimes we think we couldn't write it well enough, and sometimes we think that it would just be confusing to too many of our players. And sometimes we think, and then we're going to push it anyway, which is, you know, what they did on Dragon Age 2, and I think it worked really well in a lot of cases.
Yes.
There was a fair amount of variance in there, though, too. Yeah. Like, there was.
Actually, can we use this moment? I'm curious what your guys' feelings are. So for people who have played Mass Effect 3, for example, so Samantha and Steve, who, by a show of hands, thinks that they should have been it would have been a better game if they were bisexual. who thinks that it would have been a better game? It was a better decision to say that they were same-sex only.
It felt really tacked on. It felt like it
You can be all of those things and be gay or and be straight.
And that,
you don't have to be,
and I think that's what I was like fumblingly trying to say. You can, you definitely can be all of those. You can be all those things and being a certain way or be have those attitudes and still have a sexual preference. But with the players, it doesn't all like. But because the players don't get that, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether or not you could. It matters whether or not the person playing the game gets it.
And that's why we needed Steve and Trainer to be gay, so we were at least represented inside the game, even if we weren't romance. Like, yes, there's a gay character. Thank you. You know. So.
So we've thought about it, and it's...
Yeah. No, but this is great. No, this is why I'm so glad all of you are here, because
really
these are the conversations we need to be having. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your answers, and thank you for your work.
Thank you.
I'm going to start off by saying thank you, too. Obviously, it's meant a lot to all of us. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I really liked about Mass Effect was that the relationship was hinted at in other conversations and not just the big sex scene at the end. I specifically remember Steve saying he was jealous that you were trapped in the back of one of the shuttles with your other crewmates, and Shepard's like, well, maybe next time we can do it under the bed. And you're like, oh, so you've been having sex. You know, it's not going to just be that one time, and then you're going to die, and then, oops, we only had sex once. So I really appreciated that. My question for you is, are there characters that you've created that you've thought about in your head as being LGBTQ, and maybe... you were afraid that people didn't get it, and how do you do it well so you're not hitting people over the head with the fact, like, this person is gay, this person is, this person is African-American, which seems to be a trap a lot of writers get into, like, hitting you over the head with stereotypes just so it reads as, and it seems like you've done a pretty good job of letting us know without slapping us in the face.
Again, talking about it a lot.
I also think there's a long history at BioWare of doing a character first and not defining characters around one trait. So we have characters that like to play chess, that have, you know, toothbrushes, that calibrate things.
On the second draft.
And who happen to also be...
But who happen to also be not white as well, which we haven't even talked about.
Oh, yeah.
But,
So I think that's a huge part of... What we try to keep doing, too, as we go along, is we always focus on a character first who happens to have, you know, a different sexual preference, for example.
And then work on developing that as part of that character that is not the sign that character is carrying around with them all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd also like to say thank you for not beating people over the head with things. Like, not on the topic of LG. Yeah, I'm going to totally fuck up that acronym.
Can
never
just
mind.
Say queer? Is queer easier?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Anderson. Admiral Anderson. I did the same thing you guys did about Nyrene. Oh, they're both girls. I didn't realize he was black until, like, the third game. I was like, oh! And I felt really stupid. Because the voice actor is Keith David, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But as a follow-up to what he said, I just, do you have any plans of balancing out the genders in Mass Effect, in future Mass Effect titles? Because, you know, the whole sexy green women, like, the Krogans, all we ever see is male. Turians, almost all we ever see is male. Salarians, explained biologically, and we did finally see a female. But, like, the Drell, all male. I mean, the Hannah, obviously, or...
Whatever.
But do you have any plans of expanding the roster? The Batarians, also. All dudes.
I don't know how much we can talk about future Mass Effect universe.
No.
All I've got here is redacted.
Redacted, sorry.
But your question is noted.
Yeah, but I do know that.
Yeah, well, and it's, I mean, honestly, something we've talked about. Yeah. And a lot of, some of that is tech. I mean, maybe Dusty should answer this one because you know more about the technical limitations.
The art requirements.
Yes.
We get so many models to put in the game, both the artists creating them and actually getting them to work on your box. And
I know that in terms of, like, unique models, was it, like, 8, generally speaking? I know at one point, at least on Mass Effect, there was one point you could say you could have 8 different models, and so default human male was one, and default human female also counted as a different one. So if you had, you know, if you were filling up the Presidium with alien people, it became an issue of, okay, well, I'd really like a Turian in here. It would be more balanced. Well, if we do that, we have to take the women out.
Yeah.
So what do we do? So it comes down to unpleasant budgetary decisions. And I mean, the same thing is true for how creatures were designed. I was really proud that we got female Turians, female Salarian, female Krogan all into Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
And you know, I hope that that's something that continues in future content, whatever that ends up being. But
although,
you know, especially because once it's
designed.
I will
say, sympathetically, sitting up here as a female designer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could ask the question, well, if we're only going to develop one, why can't it be the female
right.
one?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good question to ask.
So, yeah.
I would appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Hi, so here's a third if you need more writers for non-binary characters, because I'm agender, so when I play games, the only ones that I can really identify with on a gender basis are the monsters, and that's not a great thing. So just as a comment, I would really appreciate more characters that, like, as a fantasy race or just sci-fi race, don't have gender as a thing and aren't like the Hannah.
Well, you got Morden? Did Morden ping for you?
Not really, because, like...
I know he definitely is. I guess it's more in terms of his preference,
like,
than in terms of his gender.
Yeah, in my... I will admit my playing of Mass Effect is a little limited, but from what I did see, there was definitely... Like, everyone kind of definitely went into male or female
in the way
that they presented.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, even... I probably wouldn't have a problem if it was more with the presentation just being not so dictated.
No, I think you're absolutely right. In terms of their presentation, that's just us writing inside our box.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that's something we can definitely work on, being more inclusive in that way and showcasing, you know, more variety.
I also feel that
Thank you for talking to us about it. We really, really appreciate it.
Hans writing notes.
Yep. Scribbly, yep.
I also really want to say thank you, because for what you've done with sexuality, it's just... kind of given someone at the lower end of the spectrum more hope that there'll be recognition later down the line. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
So we were talking a little bit about trans stuff earlier, and one of the really huge problems in video games... in BioWare games, there are no trans characters in BioWare games. There are no trans characters in video games. There are no trans characters, there are very few positive depictions of trans characters on TV and in movies. And because of this, the thing that makes being trans the hardest is the fact that we're invisible and nobody knows anything about us. Everybody assumes that it's a fetish thing, that it's some sort of psychosis, that it's this or that. Nobody... thinks that this is just a way that people are sometimes. And so that invisibility that is just everywhere, I think it's especially bad in video games. And this is one of the few companies where it is, you do consistently see products released that have an LGBTQ focus. And if any major studio puts out a game in the next 10 years that has a trans character, it's going to be this one. And so it's not going to happen until you guys do it. And so, but as a corollary to that, reading books, watching movies, and watching TV shows with trans characters in them isn't going to tell you any more about trans characters than it would tell you about anybody else. You know, it's, you write from your real life experiences. So, you know, hopefully something about reaching out into the real world. I ran out of words.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, it's the game industry is growing and it's expanding, and that's good. And we need to keep pushing that and encouraging that so we get all the perspectives. Like mm-hmm. you said, you write what you know. So we need enough different people working in games to make those experiences and those stories authentic. Mm-hmm. So keep on keeping on. Keep being here. Keep talking about it. Keep getting into games.
Can I plug something really quick? Okay, so I'm working on a project that I don't see anyone who is anyone's boss in here. So anyway, so I'm working on a project right now that I'm pretty excited about that is basically all about reaching out to invisible communities. And you all know one of my responsibilities is our forums, and I doubt many of you are on our forums. I would not be on our forums. Today?
What happened?
Everyone.
What happened today?
Okay, we'll talk about that later. I will make a phone call about that. But anyway, so a project that I am working on that I would really like to talk to people more about, and I have a giant stack of my business cards, which I'll again talk about that later. But it's basically that I want to build something totally different, and we need your help. And it is something where it is something that it's a space that you can go and your voice would be heard, which would help people like these fine folks hear those things and really be able to write those nice little things down and then implement those things, as opposed to doing what literally the word forum does, where it's like a lot, it's just forum. And I think Romans, where it's just loud, and then people are killing each other. Like, it's just bloody. I mean, forums serve a purpose, and but that's not this purpose right here. So, please listen and stay like ear to the ground, because it is happening. It will take time, but please know that adage of we are listening is true, and I know that it's not always safe to make your voice heard online, and I understand that and I respect that. So after this is over, I'm going to leave my business card here, and I did this after GamerX, and I got an influx of emails, and I was super happy about that because I heard from a lot of people who didn't feel listened to, and I absolutely knew that they wouldn't feel listened to, but I listened to them, and I passed them along to a lot of other people who listened to them, so we'll listen to you today. So take my card, and you will be heard. So that's my plug. And I can't wait to tell you more about my project later, not today.
Hi. I want to say I appreciate all of your inclusiveness in your characters, and especially opening up all four of the major romances in Dragon Age 2 to all genders. But what I particularly loved about Zevron in Dragon Age Origins was that he was openly bisexual. And playing as a female character, having him express his interest in men and asking you how you felt about that. And speaking of Dragon Age 2 and Anders' character, after finding out the male character got the whole backstory with Carl being his lover, and as a female hawk, you did not get the same background. It kind of felt like it was disappointing that like I was missing out on something of his character. And so I guess my question is, if that was intentionally left out to kind of not expose, you know, someone that may make someone uncomfortable, and if you guys are planning
on including any more openly bisexual characters in your games?
I know that particular decision was made from a character basis and not as an excuse to, like, oh, somebody might not want to see this. Mm-hmm. It's I didn't write the character, but that was Jennifer Hepler.
I think so.
That. And the way that topic came up just didn't seem like something that he would bring up to a female character. That was an example of a branch that was done for. From a character standpoint, it just didn't seem like it was something that he would bring up, because it wasn't relevant to the moment for him.
I'd just like to add, like, I did like that, because in my experience, gay men will probably offer that information that they've slept with a woman to another gay man, but they will not offer it to a woman unless asked. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was the right decision.
Cool.
Thank you. Your T-shirt is amazing.
Thank you. I can tell you where to get it if you'd like to know.
That'd be very cool.
Oh God, here we
go. Yeah, sorry.
This is not my shameless plug. But.
Yes, I'm shamelessly plugging that. Isn't that cute? I love that so much.
I'll do a shameless plug.
Yeah,
we have these lovely leaflets from Queer Geek. They'll be up here at the front if you would like to take one. Awesome guys, and lovely T-shirt. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And appropriate plug, since those are my publications.
Well done.
Yeah, they tell you all the queer happenings at the entirety of PAX, including a party tonight at Raygun Lounge. Plug. Okay, anyway. I just wanted to provide you guys a little bit of feedback and respectfully disagree with some of the folks that were talking about bisexual characters. That, for me, I think that in a world like Mass Effect, which is kind of derived from our history of our real world, that playing sexualities sort of how they are in our world makes sense. But when you have a world like Dragon Age, I want everyone to be bisexual, because it's a fantasy world. Why would you limit yourself to, like, established real world sexualities? You can do whatever you want. You can have any gender you want, you can have any race you want, you can have any sexuality you want. So why not have everyone be unrealistically bisexual, as some people have criticized, like, BioWare games before, which I reject, of course. But I say that since you're talking about characters and you're talking, and that is what it's important, I think that if you also think about the setting, that in a fantasy setting where you can do anything that you want, you're not constrained by actual human history and actual human society, yeah, why not? Like, make everyone bisexual. Have everyone be an option. Logistic issues aside. So that is just my one little dissent to the... Because I understand why people identify with, you know, I'm a gay character, and it's like because that's their experience, they identify with it. But I say, why not even expand beyond the idea of, like, gayness? Why do we have to be binary? So let's be a big gray, like, ocean of grayness together. So...
No matter what we think, these discussions are interesting. We should do
yeah,
more often.
Yeah, this is really
yes.
awesome.
It's
yeah,
a lot of
thank you.
Thank you.
So you talked before about not wanting to put homophobia into games, but one thing that I found just massive is, you know, you deal with issues like racism with Ashley. She's very xenophobic and such. Mm. So it seems like it's a very big aspect of sort of LGBTQ experience is dealing with a degree of phobia and difficulties. Like, if you were to have a trans relationship, you know, there's a lot of difficulties that play into that, even though ideally it wouldn't, but it's part of the experience. And to kind of gloss over it and be like, well, we want it to be a happy experience, but obviously from any of Mass Effect 3, happy experience.
That's a really good point, though.
I think to be clear, what David said was that he wouldn't want to just, like, throw in, like, homophobia, just throw it into the world. What he was basically saying was just to throw it in because it's in our world, that it's something that would need to be there for a reason.
It's not that these characters don't face difficulties. It's that they face difficulties that are based for reasons that are in-game, not just to try and echo. Because, you know, if you try and echo ripped from the headlines kind of thing, then you get the after-school special problem. So it's to be your problem specifically. I will call it your problem.
Yay.
But to make sure that the issues that they do face are based on the structure of the world itself, not to make it an outside issue that seems out of place.
So one thing
it's not that it will be always happy.
Well, one thing I would add to that is I think that I think Dusty and I, when doing Trainer and Cortez in Mass 3, there was both the in-world reason and the out-of-world reason, or in-game and out-of-game, I guess. And in-game, it was just, it's the space future, and preferring the company of the same sex is really no different from preferring blondes or redheads. I think that was what you said. And out-of-game, we didn't cover... Well, I didn't. I put words in Dusty's mouth. I didn't cover it because I have to pick up dog shit in real life. I don't want to have to do it in a video game. So they're like, as much as homophobia is realistic, why the crap would I want anyone who has to deal with homophobia and crappy cat calls and worrying about gay bashing to go into a game and do the same damn thing? Like, I would hate to do that. And so that was my reason for not including that. Now, if it got to the point where I am so worried about giving someone a too close to realistic so it's no longer entertaining time that I'm whitewashing it too much, that it no longer feels realistic or that it no longer evokes the right emotions, then maybe that is something that in future content we have to look at and say...
I'm really glad that you came up and said that, because that's really important.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't. Just because I'm like, as a straight white guy, I've decided you won't like playing this. Like, you know, I do get the paycheck, so on some level it is something I'm supposed to, you know, I'm supposed to make those calls, but I love hearing this, because I would never, ever have put that in. I would have, like, thought that was the last thing people wanted. And if it is something that people want to see addressed in some capacity, then that's something we can absolutely look at.
Let's keep talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll take those words back.
Okay. I just have to say, I've been coveting your boots since you got up. Your feet must be killing you, but oh my God, those are fantastic. You have to check them.
Oh my
God.
Come to our costume contest on Sunday.
Contest. Oh, I will. Hi. I wanted to bring up, because I heard, you know, the T issues come up. I'm kind of not really, I don't really identify as trans or more as cross-dresser or like gender fluid. I'm kind of weird because I kind of dress based on what I'm feeling during the day. Like, I feel like a girl today. I feel like a boy today. So in terms of a trans character in Dragon Age, I love Dragon Age. I've been playing the same game for 5 years because I want 100% it. I think one of my favorite examples of our representation in the game is Wade and Hiren, because like Wade is an established character. He has a partner. They're very successful. And like at the end of Awakening, you know, it says in the epilogue, if you get the dragon sword, that, you know, it gets stolen and it becomes this legendary sword that people go after for years. And, you know, a gay character made it. So I think, like, even that just little blip, I thought that was so amazing. So what I was kind of hoping to see from you guys is maybe down the line, have a trans character that is also established, has their place in society, is accepted. Just because I'm from Canada, so, like...
Woo!
Canada! We can get married. Well, you can get married here, too. But in First Nation culture, I'm not First Nations, but in the culture... there's a gender called Two Spirits.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're revered as healers and leaders and, you know, warriors and all that kind of thing. Now, I think the warrior aspect, I think one thing I love about you guys is, you know, women have more sensible clothing. It's not the usual, hey, look at me, I got boobs.
I'm just going to expose all my squishy parts. In fact, I'll make a target for you right here. Just aim right there.
Right?
Make it easy for you.
So where was I going with this? So in terms of...
I may have some feels about that. I apologize.
Yeah. In terms of, like, I don't know, just some ideas of, like, seeing, like, maybe an elven tribe where the leader just happens to be, like, clearly male but has makeup on. Because I know you can put makeup on. That's part of the options when you're doing a female character. But you can't do that for a male character. You can put tattoos on. Like, why can't you have, like, you know, like, a male elf who has eyeshadow or lipstick? Or can, like, wear a gown? Because, and also, like, body types. Because, like, you know, like, putting a dress on Alistair wouldn't really work because he's really buff, but then putting it on Zevran might actually work because, you know, elves are slender. That's you know.
I really want to put a dress on Alistair now, though, just because he's like,
right?
I think that would be really well, awesome.
Especially because he brings it up.
You'd wanna,
yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah.
There should be a cosplay
well
for that.
Yeah.
And being the... I know that trans characters exist in Dragon Age because they're at the Pearl.
Yep.
Yeah. And I really want
to
see trans characters that aren't in a brothel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because, yep. Like I said, yep. Like I want to see an established, because they exist in the universe, so I want to see them somewhere. I want to be represented somewhere other than, you know, the sex grade.
In the brothel.
Which, ironically, is kind of, you know, it kind of reflects, you know, current society, because I know a lot of my trans friends are in the sex grade. And it's frustrating because, you know, like, you become a sexual object. It's like people don't even see you as a person anymore. And I'm not doing this because I want to be, I want to get laid. Like look at that face. I'm the Joker. I'm not going to get laid. But, you know, it's just, I just want to express myself. And actually, video games is kind of how I started because the first video game I ever played was Mortal Kombat 2. And I went straight for Katana. And I was 4. It's like, I can work a fan. Yeah, and I'm a chick, you know. So, like, I really trust you guys. I love your work. And I think BioWare, you know, is... You guys are pioneers. So, like, if you could get some kind of trans movement happening, I would really, really love that. Thank you.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you
your
for
feedback. Thank you.
Good
right
luck.
Right there with you. I know. I'm sorry.
So, two things. First of all, I do want to apologize for the outburst versus regarding the... bi thing. The thing is, I do want to say I can be very outspoken, I can be very aggressive and blunt, and that doesn't always lend well to this kind of forum, because it sounds like I think it sounds like I disagree more than I actually do with the people who disagree with me on the bi, on my bi opinions, and, well, specifically in context of the game, I think that we don't disagree in terms of bi in general. I'm rambling. So I do want to apologize
well, no,
for that.
Thank you for speaking up.
Yeah.
It was
good
great.
Discussion. Yeah, it's good.
I just think there is a lot of room for... I just don't want to lock everything into... You know, to some extent, if everything becomes bi, it's not really any better, in my opinion, than everyone being straight. It becomes the same. Everyone is the same. And diversity doesn't just include acceptance. It also includes disagreement. And that they're on separate spectrums, but at the same time, they do exclude each other. But I did also have a question. I am actually a programmer. I'm not a developer. I'm not a designer type of person. I'm a developer type of person. And so, from my point of view, the fact that you guys have managed to fit so much story and character development and conversation and branches into as much as you have already into your games is very amazing, honestly. And so this sort of came because of the conversation about threesomes, and by the way, how many, I can't be the only person here who wanted to have a threesome with Garrus and Tally, right?
you did hear Tally's drunken dialogue in
oh, yeah.
in the Citadel.
Oh, yeah. And then,
make
and
a
then,
check.
I'm just saying,
wait, what?
I wanted to have it.
I don't, what?
Nothing. Nothing, what?
You not heard that?
Not for
no.
me.
No.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
We'll fix that.
Yes.
But
carry on.
So I'm just sort of curious. It's clear that limitations on the programming side have stopped you from perhaps exploring areas that you would have liked to have explored. But I'm also curious if you guys sometimes drive development, because of course, a lot of innovation in the on the programming side is driven by what do they want us to include and how do we make that happen. And like I said, I'm a developer. I leave the bright, glorious ideas to other people. You give me that idea, I will have the bright, glorious idea about how to make it work. So I'm sort of wondering, have you guys had the chance to push the boundaries in that way to force the developers to give you more space? And if there are any stories or anything in that regard.
Well, I think the Citadel, when we were talking about it, that's one form that that can take. And some of it sort of waiting for, you know, the push from the creative side and the technology and the SKUs we're developing for, and you kind of have to wait for all of those things to align. But you need to be ready to strike when that happens, right? So you have to have the ideas ready to roll so when you can finally get to it, you can make it. So
also, though, we've kind of done a lot of that. If you look at Mass Effect 1 and you look at Mass Effect 3, like on the Xbox, it's the same piece of hardware. But if you look at those, if you play them back-to-back, there's a lot of
advances. Yeah, we got significantly better.
In the way it looks, and the way it plays, and
in the way of not so many elevators.
Actually happen.
Yeah. not my
oh, come on. I love the elevators. But
and sometimes also it doesn't actually even come from us. Sometimes the developers come to us and say, hey, we explored this new feature. Do you want to use it? Mm-hmm. And we do.
And I guess on the tech side, while we are pushing things, other people are pushing things just as hard.
Yeah.
So, for example, if we said, hey, we want to have... we want to have a really good conversation that is part of a romance among three people. And if we also said, and I'd like it to be Shepard and
Garrus and Tally.
Let's say it's Shepard and Tally and someone else, and that Tally is very open-minded and is open to doing that. A cinematic designer might very well say, well, look, the problem here is it can't be Garrus or James or Caden or, you know, all those people, because they are working on their advances to make every character move with very specific body language, so that even if all you see is the bare silhouette, you can tell by the way he moves the shoulder that it's James. Or you can tell just by, like, there are Turian-specific arm movements, and they're working to go so deep on that all of a sudden that depth means that a scene that would ordinarily just be like, well, yeah, this is Shepard and either Caden or Garrus, or that actually gets significantly more complex when it's Shepard and Tally and Garrus, or Shepard and Tally and Caden, or Shepard and Garrus and Caden. Like, the permutations get crazy. It's more detail than you need. But it doesn't mean it can't be done. It means that it would have to be, like, you could maybe try and say, if it was the Shepard, Garrus, and Tally, because you had one very specific group that would actually be open to that kind of thing. And I don't know, maybe that we would end up feeling that was forced. Or maybe that would be something that we looked at and said, wow, we actually are doing some pioneering that way, and it's really interesting. But
yeah, we work with a lot of really patient programmers that, you know, because we come to them with, hey, can we do this? And they go, okay, probably. You know, and there's that initial, oh, God, here we go. But then they have fun working on it, too, because they want to make it work. So we only can try so many new, totally different things at a time. So hopefully one will lead to another, will lead to another. So.
And having worked at several companies, I can say that at BioWare, every single department cares about narrative and characters very much. And they push for that, and they push us for that, the writers, mm-hmm. as much as we push ourselves. So often they will come to us saying, hey, you know, have we done this yet? This feels real to me. It's in the real world. Can you guys put it in the game? So it doesn't just come from the writers. It does come from the team as a whole, too.
Can I follow that up, actually, with the question then? You say that you've worked at other companies and it's not always the same in that regard. Is there something that developers in general, not necessarily at BioWare, where they may already have mastered this, I don't know, be more, reactive maybe isn't quite the right word, to the needs and wants of story writers and narratives? Or is it just not something that even exists in other companies?
It's company culture. In my experience, it's company culture, and at BioWare, it's a foundation of the company culture, and it reflects through everything, even all the interactions we have in all the other departments. Which is a pretty amazing work experience for a writer.
Cool. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry,
Everyone was clapping, and I couldn't hear what you said to me.
I was trying to subtly say, could I say one more thing?
Oh, yeah. I was going to, like, give some... Oh, okay. Yeah, I think if anyone has any more thoughts. I was just thinking to myself how proud I am of everyone at BioWare. I mean, of course, I started out as a fan, and my best friend Holly played BioWare games from the time when she shouldn't have been playing BioWare games. She was far too young to be romancing Valen. Thank you, David Gator, who is at Dragon Con getting probably really drunk.
Probably.
Chances
are super drunk. And
Valen, though? Really?
Yeah, Valen. Okay. And then she, like, did some cross-dressing as, like, female Valen, and that's how she experienced her sexuality, so good on her. But I think I've heard so many stories over the years about how BioWare has really helped people come into their sexuality, their gender, their, you know, their kinks, their... And it's just, it's something where I wrote an article on my Tumblr that I'm just now understanding why Tumblr's cool. And just about how virtual culture is meaningful, and a lot of people are like, what, video games? How can that be meaningful? And people I know are getting married because they've realized after 40 years of being on this planet that, you know, they're lesbian, and they met their partner through Mass Effect multiplayer, and, you know, they're getting married in 3 weeks, and I just think that's amazing. And people who are like, oh wow, bisexuality doesn't just, you know, mean that you're confused or that you're slutty. It can be nuanced. And you know, for myself, I'm like, you know, maybe I'm not just totally straight, but it's fine because I realized that after I got married, so now it doesn't really matter. unless my husband dies. That's all I have to say. Ladies, call me. Anyway, well, and you say what you have to say.
Well, it was sort of playing on that, and
like,
a couple.
You want your husband to die?
Yes, that's exactly where I was going.
Arrangements can be made.
Boom, hers will involve fire, I'm pretty sure. Now I can't remember what I was going to say.
Are you going to, about...
BioWare, and a couple people have, you know, asked, oh, are we afraid we're going to, you know, offend people, or if people are going to get upset if there's a, you know, non-traditional romance path. And I think our collective answer to that is no. And the other thing I would like to point out that something I'm very proud of is that our parent company has been extremely supportive of us. EA totally backs us on this, and that's something that is real. When we got, and we did, you know, we always get some kind of flack, and there was a petition in a million someones or whatever who decided we were something because of the same-sex romances, and EA totally stood by us. And they were huge sponsors of GamerX, and that makes discussions like this easier. It's possible we can go back and go, okay, yes, we can do some of this stuff, and know that we can do this stuff. And that's cool. So I really appreciate that as a corporate culture, that is a value and an area of...
Oh my
words,
God!
It's worth remembering.
Just really quickly, I don't know if you guys know who Peter Moore is. He's like this super, like, super. I you hear a lot of things about Peter Moore, but you know what I'm talking about now. So he was in the Pride Parade with all of the, like, HR people and whatever, and he was at the front of the parade. He, like, cut, like, this EA Pride, like, shirt, like, all the way down. And he's like this business guy. Like
seen him not in a suit.
Yeah, he opened like the E3. Like, you can go back and look at it. He's very, he, like, is British or something. He was like wearing, he had like basically a shirt like mine. He, like, cut it down. He was like the most flamboyant person ever. He had like a bandana, like a rainbow, and he was like, it was like the most crazy thing I've ever seen.
I have to look that up immediately when this panel is
HR
over.
HR has pictures. I have shivers.
That is fantastic.
It was so cool. I have shivers again. I'm sorry. I'm not going to interrupt anymore.
No, there's no way I can possibly top that story. That was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's LGBTQ is, these are topics that are always being discussed. They may not always make it to every content, but some parts do, right? And the goal is that eventually, hopefully sooner than later, but if not, at least later, these things will happen in our games. That's what we push for, I think.
But they happen because of this, and they happen because of you. So keep talking to us. And
yes.
Keep
everyone needs to
keep on keeping on.
That brings us to the end of this episode's BioWare-based panel coverage. We hope you enjoyed listening.
Thank you so much. You can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate or Facebook/NerdAppropriate. Email us directly. That is Matt, Hillary with one L, Scott, or Ash at NerdAppropriate.com. And we have over 100 episodes to check out. So definitely subscribe and let us know what you think. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.